Our scripture reading this evening in the light of the profession of faith is taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and just reading verses 11 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Speaking about the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, passage speaks this way, and he, that is Christ himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as we rejoice at Jim and Una joining our church, I thought this is an appropriate passage for us to focus our minds on because it reminds us of the importance of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially in this case, because if there was anyone, in a sense, that would think that they can make it on their own, that they can stand on their own two feet, perhaps for a short period of time, then you would think it would be somebody that has preached God's word. It is somebody that knows how to interpret the whole counsel of God. Somebody that has studied the Word of God. That this person, of all people, should be able to stand on their own two feet. Go it alone for a while, we might say. But that's not what we find. That Brother Jim and his wife, having gone through the experience that they have had, might easily, in the first place, become embittered towards the church. That here's a couple that have devoted themselves to serving God in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to plant churches, and now they find themselves alone, in a sense, abandoned by the church. It's all too easy to become embittered. But again, that's not what we find. The Kangs immediately started coming to our church, to a church. Not that, you know, we're the only ones, there are many others, but they came to a church. They didn't stay at home. They didn't say, well, we can do it on our own for, you know, 5 months, 6 months, and we can just worship at home. We know how to read the Word of God. We know how to preach. But immediately came under the wings of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And neither were they content simply to say, well, we'll just come, you know, to church on Sundays and that'll do. We'll make use of the church. No, they sought to be members of the church. And so this evening we see the culmination of that desire, that they are members of the church. And as I say, that speaks volumes to the importance of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we do live in an age where there is that tendency on the part of some to treat the church in a very demeaning manner. In other words, it's not really necessary. We can do it on our own. And so there are many that basically substitute the family for the church. The family is the church to them. And the father is the minister in that sense. But surely that's a distortion of the scriptures. The scriptures nowhere teach that that is the case. Nowhere teach that. Not that the family isn't important, you understand. Not that we want to depreciate the family. Absolutely not. The Christian family is a very important unit. It is a blessing to God's people. It is a blessing to God's kingdom. It is a vital part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is one part. And it can't be relied upon to substitute for the rest. Substitute for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, Christ did not appoint ministers and deacons in every family. That's not what the Bible says. No, the practice of the New Testament church is that in every church there were appointed elders and deacons and ministers. So that the things that we read of this evening would be a reality in the lives of God's people. No, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. And I trust that as you witness this evening and our focus and the example of our brother and sister with respect to the importance of being part and members of the church, that it would increase your appreciation. Perhaps even being part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't really appreciate how vital it is. And there's a temptation to take it for granted. And to be members of the church, but not really active. Not really experiencing the full blessings that God intends. And so I trust that it will be an encouragement to us as we look at the institution of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the witness that their profession of faith does this evening as they join our church. First of all, this is the place of provisions, godly provisions. And that's what Paul speaks about in Ephesians. And first and foremost, that this passage teaches us something that should make us all flee to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this, that Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Why in the world would we not want to be part of that church if Christ is the head? And what does that mean? In other words, all that the church needs comes to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that empowers the body. He's the one that controls the body. He's the one that has control over every aspect of the body, in everything that we do. It is the head. The head without the body is dead, but the body with the head is alive. So that's what should attract us to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to a movement that has somebody else as the head and it's their name that is so often heard, but of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is the head. And he's the one that provides everything that we need. We're never going to be short of that. We're never going to be wanting, never going to be needy, because the Lord Jesus Christ loves his people and ever watches over them. In the same way that nothing happens to the body without the head being informed and guiding those processes. And so, even more so then, that we should be want to be part and parcel of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gave many examples with that in that respect. He is the vine, we're the branches. We would never want to be cut off from the vine. We would never want to say, you know, I'm a healthy branch. Look at all the fruit. And if I lie on the side for a while, that's okay. No, it's not okay. It doesn't take long when a branch is cut off to wither. It's died already once you cut it off. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. Because when we're separated from him, when we are not in him, then all the spiritual nutrients that we need, we are cut off from. So, when you think lightly of the church, when at times you are tempted to take it for granted, remind yourself of that. Christ is the head of the church. And for me to be connected and to receive from those means of grace, I need to be part of his body. I need to be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see how important this is to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right at its inception, it's being made up in the first place. And that's what this passage tells us. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors. The very founding of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ provided the avenue by which that would happen. The Lord, Paul speaks, of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 19 to 22, about the church. He says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and members of the household of God." And how did we become that? Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I mean, that says so much. Not only does Christ lay the foundation, not only is he the head, the chief cornerstone, but what a wonderful privilege. Why? Because we, being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the very house in which the Holy Spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in the temple of God, and we are the temple of God. What a rich blessing. Who would not want to be an active member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when such privileges are ours? People of God, it's a foundation laid by God himself. And he did it through the prophets and apostles. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they in and of themselves were so great and it's based on their thoughts that the church is founded. No, absolutely not. It's because they were agents and avenues by which God revealed his word. That's where we get our foundation from. It's the word of God. And that word came through the apostles and prophets, whom God gave as the Holy Spirit carried them along, so that what they spoke were not their own words, but were words of God himself. So that what we are founded on is the infallible, inspired word of God that is fully complete, fully able to meet all of our needs. It's not the words of that's the institutions of this world. That's the sects and religions that this world sets up. It's founded on what an individual has come up with. And they haven't, that hasn't been given to them by God. They often claim that it is, but it's not. It's not. The church is the only institution that has a divine foundation. One that cannot be moved. One that no one else can lay. However clever they may be. No, they cannot lay this foundation. Only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has that. And so God gave these offices, these temporary offices, for the sake of founding the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, laying that solid foundation as the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself. And he became the chief cornerstone because the word of God speaks about him. He is the word. And so we don't expect those offices anymore. We don't look for apostles. We don't look for prophets. There is no need. The word of God is complete. The foundation is laid. And that's why we say, I say so often, not because I'm so proud of what I know to people that come to the church. We don't need any input. We don't need to change the foundation. The word of God is perfect. It has been for thousands of years. We don't need to change it. Yes, our understanding of it grows. Because we're fallible men. But the substance of God's word doesn't change. We don't add to it. We don't say the people of this day and this generation know more about certain things and therefore we have to change the word of God to fit what they say. If you want a church that is founded on men in terms of their ideas, then you're welcome to it. But don't confuse it with the church of the Lord Jesus. No, that is already set. That will never change. And so not only has God given us this solid foundation, but he has also given us offices in terms of day by day in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lest somebody argue, well, I believe in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a part of that church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though I'm not a member anywhere. Because the church that is being referred to is the worldwide church. And so I'm a member of the Lord Jesus Christ Church, even though I'm not a member anywhere else. My question to them is, what elders has God placed you under? What ministers has God placed you under? What deacons are there to tend to your needs? Nowhere. No one. No one. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, is universal. It is made up of all the churches of God everywhere. But how do you come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's through the local church. Through the local church. God didn't send a letter to all the believers in the world in Revelation. He sent it to where? He sent it to seven local churches. What we have here in Ephesians 4 is not the idea that God is, that Christ is the head of the universal church and he takes care of each and every one of the members himself. No, no, no. No, it's in terms of local churches. And the practice of the New Testament church was surely that. The apostles went everywhere preaching the gospel. And everywhere that Paul went and others went too, when a church was established, they established the church and they appointed elders and deacons in that place. It seemed to be beyond them, never entered into their mind that everyone was individually members of the universal Catholic Church and there didn't need to be any organization. It wasn't in their minds. And for good reason. Those who were led by the Spirit of God, for good reason. Because that's not the way God has revealed his care for his people. It is in the local churches. And so we have to take that very jealously. And we need to look to the means by which God has sought to watch over us, to defend us. After all, he did warn us against the devil and the kingdom of darkness that seems to want to destroy us. the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Well, here are the means by which God defends his church. The solid foundation that has already been laid and permanent offices in the church upon whom God places the responsibility to watch God's people, to care for God's people, to instruct God's people, and to comfort and encourage them day by day. But it is not only a place of provisions, but it's also a place of preparation. So to be a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be a member of a working church. Not a church that you visit Sunday by Sunday and then to some place where we go and get, you know, some service and then we go and do our own thing. No. We are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are part and parcel of the avenues of grace. We are the avenues by which God accomplishes his purpose for the church, which is manifold in terms of the fellowship that we have with one another, building one another up, encouraging one another, but also reaching out to the world, to proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That whole ministry is your ministry. It's not my ministry. You are the agents of God, and therefore you have to be prepared. The army does not consist of leaders, does it? If we just took the leaders, they wouldn't be much of a force. The force, in terms of power, is in the soldiers. That these leaders have to equip and train. And that's the way it is with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. These avenues of grace that God has provided, these offices, these permanent offices that continue from generation to generation that God has given us, has a purpose. So pastors and teachers and elders and deacons all have a purpose. And what is it? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what the church is about. Is to equip you. Is to teach you the wonderful truths of God's word, the wonderful gospel, and all the doctrines of God and of man and everything else that the word of God teaches, so that we may be equipped and ready, so that when we go out into the world and when we speak to people, then we can give them the truth of God. When we deal with one another inside the church, when we deal with our children, we can do so in accordance with God's word, so that we can be a light. But if all we do is come to church and get filled with the word that is preached, which is a contradiction in terms, if you're filled with God's word, then that word is going to work in you to fulfill the ministry that God has given us. So we really don't understand God's word if all we do is come to listen and then go away. Because what are we doing? We're hiding our light under a bushel. What point is there to that? No. If we really understand God's word, if we really hear the preaching of God's word, it is to equip you, to provide you with all that you need to reach out to others, both in the church and outside of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not here just to please you. We're not here, as it were, to tickle your ears and to keep you excited and happy. No. It's to help you see, and for you to be useful instruments in God's hands. Now our task is to feed every believer with the word of God, so that each believer, as the word of God says, may be strengthened to know and serve the Lord, that you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. You are the workers, not spectators. And so it's our task as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill that purpose of our Lord, which is to equip his people to serve him, to do the work of the ministry. The ministry should not be narrowly defined as the work of the minister or the leadership, but rather the work of the congregation, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer is to be a missionary to the wide circle of family, friends, and acquaintances. That's the mission field that you have. And so as each of us proclaims the gospel in loving and gentle ways, then we can be assured that we are being faithful witnesses of Christ, and he will be pleased to use us and our church as instruments to gather his children from the world. Further, as each of us cares and watches over our fellow members with whom we have a brother and sister relationship, then each believer will also be blessed. We're not a church that only looks outward. We're not a church that only wants to use you as an instrument to get a bigger church. No, we're interested in you. You are the people of God. You are important. And so in an effort to equip you, we equip you both in terms of reaching others, but also in terms of seeing your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ grow. That is an important part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many, unfortunately, ignore. No, we ought to look for one another. Not be busybodies, you understand, not be judgmental about everyone, but watch for the needs of God's people. Or when they're going astray, or when they're hurting, or when they're confused. That ought to touch us, because we are fellow members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The best witness of a church is to lovingly and gently help one another. How will people know that we are a legitimate Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and disciples of his? Surely, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is this, that we love one another. That we love one another. We're not here fighting to go this way or that way. We're not two camps trying to battle each other for power. No. We are those that love one another and serve to build one another up and to protect one another. That is what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is intended to be, both in terms of fellowship as well as in terms of equipping to call others. This is what builds the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what edifies the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what leads us to grow in our knowledge and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are not tossed about by every wind of God. That we don't find from month to month we have people come and then they leave. And then we have other people come, then others leave. That we're kind of a rotating door with respect to membership. No, that's the way it's going to be if we don't love one another. That's the way it's going to be if we don't care and pray for one another. No. People need to find a home here where they are fed, where they are loved, where they grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. They grow. We're interested in them maturing in the faith. We're interested in them becoming more holy. As I say, not just another body to put on a committee for some mission. No. It's people that we're concerned about. You know, once we were having a meeting in the college, and so we were asked, you know, what do we teach? This is getting acquainted with other professors. And so anyway, people started saying what they taught, you know, what courses they taught. Until the math lab coordinator turn came and she said, I teach students. Which was kind of an eye-opener. In the first place, we teach people. We need to focus on the people rather than just focusing on what we transfer to them. We're interested in people. That's what a church ought to be. We care about people. We want the people to grow. Not our image, No, but our membership, that they may all grow, we may all grow to the full knowledge, the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's His purpose. That's His purpose. That we might become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ without spot and without blameless before Him. That's how much the Lord Jesus Christ cares. That's why He shed His blood for us. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, who works in each and every one of us, who has begun a good work. But that work is in the local church. It is through the avenues of grace that God has provided. So let us not demean the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not take it for granted. Let us not think, oh, we can do it on our own. No, no, no. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been given to us. And what does it do? Well, it provides for us a place of progress, a place of stability. When we hear God's word, and when we are equipped, when we are taught, and we see it in action, then it is that our faith becomes stronger and stronger. We are not liable to be led astray by every doctrine that comes down the pike, as it were. Every movement that comes along. And it happens from generation to generation. It happens. A new kind of church comes along. And I was going to say the young people, but it's not always the young people. Sometimes adults too. And they rush after those things. Leave their good local churches and they run after them. And for a while it goes fine. And then it gets dull again. And now it becomes like their local church. Everything is normalized. And the excitement is gone. And sad to say, what happens to those people is not that they return to the previous church. They stop going altogether. They stop going altogether. No, no. It's in the local church that we should be growing in our faith. It's in the local church that we should become more and more mature in our faith. And more appreciative of the place and the avenues by which these things are happening in us. We don't want people to go astray or be led astray. And so what we teach is the Word of God. And so that's why we have confessions, to hold ourselves accountable. And we're not just a single church where one leader can take people in. No, we're part of a federation of other ministers, equally equipped, so that when one church is tempted to go astray, there are many others to call us back. Not that denominations cannot go astray. They do. But it takes a long time before that happens. Whereas a local church can go from one minister to 180 degrees and go in the opposite direction. No, there is stability in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where you need it. And that also means that it's in the local church that we seek answers. We don't go here, there, and everywhere to Tom, Dick, and Harry that we don't know on the internet or whatever it is. No, it's in the local church. We don't like our kids to get and talk with other people on the internet all over the world, do we? We want to monitor that. Why? Because it's so easily they are led astray. It's the same in terms of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may think I'm being spiritual because I'm going here, there, and everywhere. But maybe you're being foolish by going alone and not having the stability and the guidance of the local church. But not only do we need knowledge, but also obedience to grow more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, as Philippians says. It's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we learn how it is to relate to one another. We learn how it is to forgive one another. And so this is a place of growth. This is a place of holiness. It's as we live our lives and difficulties arise and we learn to forgive and encourage and admonish one another. That's the way it is. That's the way we find out, to humble ourselves. And that's what Philippians is all about. Don't be conceited. Well, how is it that we learn to push those things down? It's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn how to live the Christian life. To love and be loved. To put into practice that which we hear week by week through the Scriptures. And it's in this way that not only do we have head knowledge, as it were, which is necessary, but we have the practical knowledge of holiness in our hearts and in our minds. And it's then, that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ can truly be said to be mature in the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, you may not look much to the outside world, but neither did 12 apostles with the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't look very strong. The church didn't look very strong. These people hiding in a room, waiting. But as they waited, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, having ascended to heaven, poured out these blessings, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was established. And in short order, we read that they changed, they turned the world upside down. People of God, this is a wonderful institution that God has created, and we have a privilege to be part of it. Let us cherish it, and let us be active members for the sake of one another. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful once again for our part in your church. We're thankful that we are one of those lively stones that you, in your wonderful wisdom, has chosen and formed and placed in a particular place to be your temple, in which you dwell by your Holy Spirit. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might know what that is in our experience day by day. And we're thankful for these two bricks that you've brought. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the place that they take. And our Father in heaven, we pray that your church may be strengthened by them and our witness enhanced. Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would bless each and every one of us and use us as instruments in your hands. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the blue hymn.